Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm about to start doing some calisthenics. When was the last time you used the word calisthenics? That's a good question. It's also a rhetorical question, like, what is Richard Sherman thinking? I have plenty of rhetorical questions, more of them when I get tired and a little bit loopy. But my friends tell me that always makes for the best radio show. I never quite get the answer to what you don't think being intelligent and in full possession of my senses and clear and fully operational makes a good radio show. But they think I'm funnier when I'm tired. So yay, here it is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And yes, your host is tired, but it's aight. We've got Game 5s on tap after 8 hours of sleep. So that's first. And then Game 5s. It's going to be kind of fun to wake up on.
I'm tired. I want to go home.
Thank you, LeBron. At least LeBron understands me. We speak the same language. It's going to be kind of fun to wake up on Wednesday afternoon and walk the dog, get some coffee, and boom, baseball right away. And that's just the first of three Game 5s that we've got. So I think as sports fans, we're in a pretty good spot here. Of the four divisional series, three of them are going the distance. And we've got some awesome pitching matchups, and so we'll get to that coming up. We want you to be fully prepared for these National League Division Series on Wednesday and then the American League Division Series that goes to a Game 5 in Houston on Thursday.
I'm pumped!
No, I'm pumped. So pumped. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Live, although I'm half dead, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Don't you love how dramatic I am? They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. In 15 minutes, we'll do a little QB news because there is QB news, and I want to make sure you are up to date. For instance, we've got the latest on Sam Darnold and the New York Jets as we head toward week number 6. And also Jerry Jones is giving a bit of a prognosis. It's only week 5. The Cowboys are 3-2, but a bit of a prognosis on quarterback Dak Prescott. Also, Aaron Rodgers has become a frequent guest on Brett Favre's radio show, which I think is cute. I like it. I like that they're buds now. Time and perspective tends to heal wounds and change how we view the past. Also, tends to give us a little bit of perspective about our own actions. Sometimes when we think we might not have handled things as well as we like, we appreciate a relationship or an opportunity to go back and kind of fix that, or at least make amends for it.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
I do too. Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, and the latest on Sam Darnold. All of that ahead and more on QB News in 15 minutes. In 30 minutes, your questions on Ask Amy Anything. I feel like a broken record, but I'm going to keep saying it because you never know when we have new people tuning in. So if you're wanting to send questions, you do it to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Just look for the ginormous, obnoxious orange box, but orange is my favorite color. And then also on our Facebook page, same thing. It clearly says, Ask Amy Anything. So it's right there. Send your questions and producer Chris will sort through those before we get to the 30-minute mark. Sometimes he's already got his questions and he's armed and ready and I'm still recording a CBS Sports Minute, but we make it work somehow. We're not yet to week 6 of the NFL. We already have a coaching change. So we talked about that situation with Jay Gruden and Bill Callahan taking over as the interim head coach. And wondering now what effect this has on the locker room. What effect this has on the Redskins? Does this make them more determined? Does this make them more likely just kind of play out the string. And I'm not saying they don't care. I'm not saying they don't want to win. Of course they do. You don't get to this point in an athletic career, a professional career, if you don't care and don't want to win. Plus, they're all playing for jobs. But 0-5 is demoralizing. Forget now having to listen to someone else. At least Bill Callahan is internal. But it's like changing jobs. Excuse me. It's like changing bosses at your job is what I meant to say, what she said. I had a really great boss. We had two bosses that started the network. And one of them is still here, and he's awesome. The other one, also awesome. And when he announced that he was leaving to take a different job and a new challenge, I'm really excited for him. It was kind of a punch to the gut. Not because I felt like he should be loyal and stick with me, la, 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 la. But because you get comfortable with a particular boss and his voice, and you know how it works, and you have a system, and you communicate a particular way. And so it does tend to throw things in flux. Now you have to go ask for something different. You have to find a new structure. And who are you asking now? And how does it work with that person? And so, this was not even in the middle of a football season. It was really a slow time in sports when our boss left. And yet it does tend to kind of throw some more angst and anxiety into the mix for anybody who's ever changed bosses kind of when you were comfortable with the other one. And so that's a major storyline moving forward. And as luck, using my air quotations, as luck would have it, the Redskins play the Dolphins this weekend. So at least we'll have another team get a win. A win is a win is a win is a win. I don't care if it comes against another winless team. So I saw this. I mean, I thought it was a humorous tweet from one listener who wants. And so I'm going to pass this on to the guys because I don't actually know. You guys are better at this stuff than I am. Robert wants to know, should I try and pick Miami versus Washington for the Survivor pool? I'm tempted to pick Miami, and I'm a Skins fan. Oops.
No.
That's all you guys. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know what the line is for this game, but how can you feel comfortable picking either of those teams?
No. There's not even any way to justify that remotely, because that game is about as big of a crapshoot as any game is going to be this season outside of maybe the Dolphins and the Jets or the Dolphins and the Bengals.
When's that one coming up? That'll be fun.
4 weeks from now, I think the Jets go to Miami.
I mean, that's too long to wait. Both of them will have wins by then, I feel like. I'm confident.
How about no?
Yes, it's difficult to go undefeated. It's also really difficult to go winless. Both of those things are extremely rare. Here is the Dolphins' schedule. Oh, dear. Yes, you're right about the Jets. This could be... Actually, there could be some wins here. The Redskins on Sunday. Then at the Bills. Then at the Steelers, which in the past would have been quite formidable. I looked at that and thought, oh dear. And now I realize that it's maybe not an oh dear. And then Jets at the Colts, Bills again. Oh, they've got the Browns in there. Guess if they catch the Browns in an off week. Oh my gosh. They do still have the Bengals. And they have two games with the Jets and they have a game with the Giants. I mean, come on. There's all kinds of W's in there for the Miami Dolphins. The two of you are you're not ignoring me, but you're refusing to jump in.
They might win one game. Hey, I don't know which one.
One game is better than no games.
Maybe the Jets, the Bengals. You said the Giants, they play the Giants?
They play the Giants, they play the Jets twice. The Jets should be different with Sam Darnold back.
But is one game better than no games? Probably not, right? At this point, they probably don't want to win any games.
I think their fans don't want to win any games. But if you put yourself in that locker room, do the current players give a crap? Do the current players give a flying crap about whether or not they get the top pick in the NFL draft? Seriously.
No.
You can't tell that locker room to tank for Tua. They're not going to do that. In fact, that's annoying to them.
Well, the players are trying, but the players that are on
the
field are not suitable to win games. So, and how many of those guys are going to be part of the future?
I mean, I wouldn't say they have as much talent as other NFL teams, but I wouldn't say they're devoid of talent.
I forget who it was, but on Hard Knocks, I remember a player talking about how when you play for a really bad team, you still play for yourself. You play for he called it playing for the tape. You play for your tape for next year for teams. So even though
play
he was
for
on
a contract.
Even though he was on a crappy team, he still gave max effort on it in every game. So
yeah, I mean,
there's incentive.
So I get it. They're maybe not as talented as say the, you know, the 49ers on defense or trying to think of the best offensive team. It's kind of hard to pinpoint the Chiefs right now. But they're still guys that are getting paid to play football. So I am not on board with undefeateds or with winless teams, because I think both of those are really difficult to accomplish. I think you have to try really hard. You have to have everybody pulling in the same direction. And I don't think that's the case with the Dolphins. However, I don't think I would touch them with a 10-foot pole in a survivor pool. But what do I know? I'm not in a survivor pool, and neither are you two.
Nope. But Dolphins, Bengals, Jets, and Redskins, you do not touch under any circumstances, no matter what, period.
How funny is it that we are all out picking three different losers in the same week? That's weird.
It was a rough week.
It was a rough week.
Silly Buccaneers.
Mike Tomlin's had a rough week, too. Not only did they lose to the Ravens in overtime, I mean, that's bad enough when it's your rival, then they lost another quarterback, and now he has the annoyance of being asked about Redskins rumors and whether or not Mike Tomlin's going to take a job with Dan Snyder in D.C.
I'm not worried about that, to be quite honest with you. You were the first person to mention it to me in a public setting.
In a public setting? What about in a private setting? Sometimes he overspeaks. He adds phrases that make you think, wait, is there a cryptic meaning there?
Guys, I'm the head coach of a 1-4 football team that's going on the road to play a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback with my third quarterback. You think I'm worried about anything this week other than that?
Please tell me that Mike Tomlin was not about to say, I'm the quarterback. You can play it again. I'm pretty confident that he nearly had a slip of the tongue.
Guys, I'm the head coach of a 1-4 football team that's going on the road to play a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback with my third quarterback. You think I'm worried about anything this week other than that?
Yeah, I got you. You can cut that. That's a good little drop there from Mike Tomlin.
Maybe he was going to say coordinator.
Nope. He was going to say quarterback. I think it's because he's dreaming about quarterbacks right now. Do you know when you're really stressed about some particular situation? Maybe you guys don't dream about it. I do. When there's something that's weighing heavily on my mind, whether it's something that I'm excited about or and I really need to prepare for, or it's something that I'm worried and anxious about. Either way, I dream about it. During college basketball season, when I'm doing play-by-play, I dream about basketball. There will come a time later in this football season when I dream about the NFL. I am not ashamed to admit I've had dreams about all kinds of various NFL athletes because that's what I think about so much during this time of the year. And so, and like, actually, they show up in my dreams. Like, they're not on a football field either. It's like, how am I dreaming about people I don't even know? But that's what I'm thinking about this time of the year.
Guys, I'm the head coach.
So I think it's just because right now he's obsessing over his quarterback situation with Mason Rudolph and concussion protocol after the brutal hit with Earl Thomas. And then, of course, Devlin Hodges, who is an undrafted kid out of Samford, who very well could be running his team and his offense against the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. Oy, on the road, no less. So I'm sure it's because he's obsessing over his quarterbacks, kind of like we do. And to that end, we will give you the latest in QB news straight ahead. What a segue! It's After Hours. Oh, don't forget to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything on our Facebook page or on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Boom. Did it. Almost swore on the air. Don't tell my grandma or my mom. She's not a big fan. I remember the first time I ever swore in a phone call to my mom. She was mortified. But every now and then when she gets mad about my ex-boyfriend, she calls them a-holes. Am I allowed to say a-holes on the air? Yes, I am. It's not one of the words you can't say. I went to the HR training. Don't tell me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Bay, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high. Heavily covered. Touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
It is the news that Jets fans have longed to hear, and I know because I work with a couple of them. A lot of people have asked me whether or not the Jets are the worst team in the NFL, and I even asked you, who is the worst team in the NFL through 5 weeks? And some of you pointed to the New York Jets. I don't think that's fair because they played one half with a healthy quarterback. Out of their five games, Sam Darnold felt okay for one half of football, in which they had a 16-0 lead against the Buffalo Bills. And then in the season opener, he started to feel tired, fatigued, not like himself. And that's a big reason why they lost that game and then have had to play without him since. But Sam has been cleared for contact. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I've never thought so much about an athlete's spleen in my life. I guess not since Chris Sims. But Sam Darnold's spleen is back to its normal size. He's been cleared for football activities, which includes contact. And he is on track to start for the New York Jets in week number 6. Are you guys excited about that? Thumbs up. No more Luke Falk. Well, we know Trevor Siemian became the sacrificial lamb, but as the Jets host the Cowboys, Cowboys coming off two straight losses, the Jets looking for the first win. It's got to be a sight for sore eyes to think about Sam back on the field. And according to Adam Gase, that's the piece that's missing.
The defense is playing good. Special teams playing good. We all know what group needs to play better. You know, I mean, that's on me. So I told those guys in there that I'll get it fixed. It's on me. It's on nobody else. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, now it's about to be on Sam Darnold's shoulders as well. So Adam Gase brought in to work with Sam in his sophomore season. He can get back to it. Although they're already four losses, behind the eight ball. Now their next opponent, as I mentioned, is the Dallas Cowboys. And there's been a lot of talk, the roller coaster ride, the ebbs and flows. Does Dak deserve to be paid like one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL when you consider how the offense has been in the last couple of weeks? So the loss to the New Orleans Saints, in which they only scored 10 points, then just really getting steamrolled by the Green Bay Packers for most of this past game. Now, in the fourth quarter, their offense was putting up all kinds of incredible numbers. Amari Cooper up and down the field. We got to see them air it out and move the ball, but it was after they'd given up 31 points to the visiting Packers. So are there questions about Dak Prescott? Sure. Jerry Jones has got the answer. It is weekly appearance on our Dallas affiliate 105.3 The Fan.
I do see Dak showing the ability to handle adversity and basically go out and make the kind of plays that can win important games for the Cowboys in the future.
I would agree with that. I mean, quarterbacks get way too much of the credit and absorb far too much of the blame when teams win or teams lose. And with the Cowboys, there's this extra white-hot spotlight. Obviously, Dak in a contract year, but Jones has been consistent that he's seen what he needs to see from Dak Prescott to sign him to a deal and to keep him as the franchise quarterback. Now, it's a former quarterback. Actually, they've got a bunch of former quarterbacks on their coaching staff. But Jason Garrett, as a former quarterback, can speak that language of Dak Prescott. There's been a lot of talk about his job status as well.
Vegas came out with it after the Redskins news that Jason Garrett has the second best odds of being let go within the season. Would you like to dispel that possibility?
Well, yes. Dispel it, yes. But don't bet any money against that happening. You'll lose it.
I like that. Jerry Jones has always got a bit of humor infused into his weekly conversations. Again, our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan, with Sean and RJ. That's the show on which he appears. And he's warning you, if you're betting against Jason Garrett keeping his job, then you're going to lose your money. Ka-ching! And considering it's Jason Garrett who gets paychecks signed by one Jerry Jones, I mean, if anybody would know, he would. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. This is so easy to make the segue from the Jets to the Cowboys to the team the Cowboys played last in the Green Bay Packers. They feel like they are back on top of the proverbial NFL world after winning in Dallas. They had lost to the Eagles the week before at Lambeau Field, but had time to prepare for the Cowboys and couldn't have gone much better. And you can see the relationship that's developing between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, and Aaron concurs. He agrees with that and was sharing a little bit about it with Brett Favre on Sirius XM NFL Radio.
We've really been sharp and starting to finish some of the calls coming out. That really helps. You know, when you can anticipate some of those calls, it kind of gets you in that flow confidence-wise, and I think we really got that going.
Do you know the Monday night football game is Packers and Lions, week 6? That'll be fun. Every team in that division is above 500. It's right now the most competitive division in the NFL. So Aaron Rodgers is a guest on Sirius XM NFL Radio talking to Brett Favre about how he and LaFleur are really starting to build that connection. It's one of the things that I wrote about in my column is that it takes time to develop that communication, to get used to a new voice, to get used to a new style, a system, to have new leadership. And while Aaron Rodgers has been in place, this is his first time with a different head coach other than Mike McCarthy. And he said we need to work on putting together 60 minutes of football, consistent football on the offensive side of the ball. But so far, 1,300 yards, a completion percentage of just shy of 63%, 6 touchdowns, only 1 interception to this point. Now, for the Packers, this should be old news. In fact, it might not be news at all. But at 4-1, I think it's safe to assume the Packers consider themselves to be a Super Bowl contender.
There comes a point where it's about the wins, and people are going to still focus on, how many touchdowns did you do, but the most important thing is championships. We're putting ourselves in a position to be competitive in that conversation in a very deep NFC, but, wins like a couple of days ago go a long way for the confidence of our football team, and I feel good about where we're at.
I think if I were the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, I'd feel good about where we were at, too. Mostly because that defense has been really fierce and because they've got some big wins already under their belts, even in this first month, trying to develop that consistency and now seeing it come together. I mean, it's not a rebuilding project. So they've got a new head coach, but they felt like they had a lot of the pieces in place. So they brought in some new free agents on the defensive side of the ball, trying to shore up the offensive line. They want to run the ball more. And what we saw from Aaron Jones with the 4 touchdowns in Dallas and not relying or not needing to rely on Aaron Rodgers to bail them out of bad situations. I mean, this is best case scenario for the Packers to start out in the first 5 weeks. But oh boy, what a matchup. What a gauge for both the Packers and the Lions. A game that you'll see Monday night from Lambeau Field. Not the frozen tundra yet. I need to call my Grammy, actually, and ask her whether or not they've had a frost yet in Wisconsin. But Lions and Packers, a combined record of 6-2-1. That'll wrap up week 6. Before you know it, we'll be wrapping up week 6. That's cray. All right, coming up next, Ask Amy Anything. You've got a few minutes remaining to send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Chris will have your questions. And I hope he doesn't have to go through his reserve questions. I hope he actually has some fresh, interesting questions.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
Ask Amy Anything, sort of. But before you ask me anything, Chris, I have to pass along this post on our Facebook page. This is cool. Bruce says, my daughter's in eighth grade. She and some of her friends have made your nerd alert phrase very popular around the building. Keep up the great work. Love your show. I mean, my nieces thought I was cool when they were in eighth grade. They're not anymore, so now I'm not so cool. But that is awesome. Good to hear that even the eighth graders can delight in our show. I'm not sure what that says about the intelligent factor of the show, but I'll take it. We appeal to all shapes and sizes, colors, ages. It's neat to hear that from Bruce. All right, so producer Chris has got the questions. Ask Amy Anything. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, our hump show.
All right, we will start with Scott, who wants to know, what is your favorite type of dog?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Well, I'm not really a fan of yip-yip dogs, so little dogs. I've never had a little dog. And some of them are cute, but some of them are not. So my favorite dog breed of dog is an Australian Shepherd, just because that's what we've had my whole life. They're so smart. They're active. They're funny. They're really great companions. They love their people hard. That's what Penny is. And I adopted her on purpose because I wanted to rescue an Australian Shepherd. However, I also am really intrigued by Belgian Malinois. I've got a friend who's got one, and a lot of them are police dogs. They're trained law enforcement dogs. And so I've been thinking about maybe adopting one of those. I can't have two dogs at a time. I don't know that I would ever say no to any particular breed, or even if the dog was a mutt and didn't have a breed. But what I do know is that I need a big dog, not a little dog. So I don't know what, maybe it's me because I'm a single girl and I like having a bigger dog that makes me feel a little safer when I walk her. But I'm a fan in general of shepherds. And so I think that's probably part of it. But I mean, if you find a cute dog with a sweet face at a pound or online somewhere, I was recently Googling dogs available for adoption in our area. It's a bad idea. Really bad idea.
Don't go to the shelter unless you're planning to go.
I know, but I can't because I can't bring another pet home. Oh my gosh. But I was looking at what was out there and they're all so sweet looking.
Speaking of sweet, we'll go to Bobby, who wants to know, food. Amy, do you like to bake cookies? And if so, have you ever made them with peanut butter?
Do I like to bake cookies? Would anybody care to answer that for me?
Yes.
Yes, I love to bake cookies. In fact, it's one of my new annual Christmas traditions that every year, and I'm up to 120 cookies last year I baked. I try a couple of new types of cookies, and I also have a couple old standbys, and one of them, peanut butter kisses, or as other people know them, peanut butter blossoms. They're essentially a peanut butter cookie with a Hershey's kiss stuck in the middle. That is an old staple, and I make them every year at Christmas. So yes and yes to both of those questions. Just wait until it's Christmas, by the way. Last year I had four different kinds. One of them was an Almond Joy cookie. One of them, first time ever making snowballs.
I remember that. Yes.
So proud of myself. It was a mess in my kitchen. The powdered sugar was everywhere, but they were so good. So yeah, this year, if you guys have a suggestion for a new type of cookie, I was thinking snickerdoodles maybe. We'll see. I like to try a new recipe every year.
Oh, last holiday season was so much fun. We'll go to Jeremiah next. He wants to know, what is your favorite stadium tradition in terms of a song? Like a song that everyone in the crowd sings and knows and pumps everyone.
Oh my gosh. This is so bad because I spend most of my time watching from afar. I don't know. Remember we had people call up with their favorite like stadium songs, and I'm ashamed that I don't know a stadium song. I do love the fact that, and it took me years to figure out exactly what they were saying, but I love that in the Mile High City in Denver, when there's a pass that is incomplete on a third down, that's what they yell, incomplete! Although, after I was charged with yelling Duval on our last show, maybe the Jaguars will invite me to do that. I like the pounding of the drum at Panther Stadium in Charlotte. But yeah, that's not really a fair question to ask me because I don't go to as many games. And because I don't ever go to see my own teams play. I mean, it's hard to follow all the games when you're sitting at a stadium at one game. So, yeah, I'm a sucky fan when it comes to that. Really, working a national job kind of takes a lot of the fandom and the fun out of it. I mean, I still enjoy what I do, but it's not the same as being a fan and getting to go to a game and, you know, not have to worry about taking notes. I'm so boring. No one wants to hang out with me. Okay, go.
As boring as it is, I think. Well, that's not boring, certainly. But as boring as it is, I think you got to tip your hat to Boston when they do the Sweet Caroline. I think that's pretty
oh,
cool.
Yeah? Well, after you've heard it like 8,322,000 times, it's, yeah, it's not quite as cute anymore. I'll tell you what. I loved going to Wrigley Field a couple years ago for the first time and doing the seventh inning stretch because no one does it like Wrigley Field. So I'll say that. And when I was there, it was the stars of the Chicago Med, Fire, and PD trilogy that were there on hand, which was really cool. And so, yeah, I'll say that. The seventh inning stretch with the singing of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, no matter where you do it, I always belt that out like nobody's business.
Bill Murray is
Thank
a legend.
Thank God. I came up with one. Yes.
Alan wants to know, can you name some of your celebrity crushes, please?
Kirk Cameron.
Old school.
John Schneider. Bo Duke. Well, my God, right now I love Chris Pratt. I mean, Mark Wahlberg. There isn't a movie out there with Mark Wahlberg that I won't watch. I even watched one of his comedies recently, which, you know, I'm not much into today's humor. I don't really find it funny. But it was the one where he and I can't remember who played his wife. They adopted one girl, but she had two younger siblings. So they became like instant parents to three kids. And it was really funny. I mean, he also has a great comedic sense of timing as well. So yeah, the movie was one of those tearjerkers, but it was a comedy too. So let's see. Yeah. So Mark Wahlberg, definitely Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains. Love Chris Pratt. I'm trying to think if there's any others. Those are probably, I still think Tim McGraw is hotter than hot. So, you know, just those are some.
Big Jim, speaking of movies, he has a movie question. He wants to know, what, in your opinion, is the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Well, when I was a kid, I don't remember why this happened, but my dad, who we didn't spend a whole lot of time with, took my brother and I to see Poltergeist, and it scared me so badly that I did not watch another horror flick for 20 years. I couldn't get that scene in the shower with the little girl out of my head. For those of you who've never seen Poltergeist, don't see it. Although I guess now it probably wouldn't be as scary, but I mean, that was literally the scariest thing I'd ever seen. I was petrified for weeks. And then I would have nightmares about, oh my gosh, it was awful. My mom was so angry that my dad took us to see that movie in the theaters, no less. Oh my gosh.
They remade it. You should watch the new one, too.
No, I'm not watching any of them. And now I just don't watch horror movies. So thrillers get to me. Cape Fear. Remember the newer Cape Fear, not the original one. When Cape Fear came out, it was kind of like my re-entry into like thrillers and suspense. Yeah, that one scared the crap out of me, too. I can't forget them. Then I get really nervous and I just can't. I replay them over and over in my head. So, no.
They're here.
Yeah, no, I can't. I mean, I'm telling you, it scared me for years. That little girl and the shower. Let's move on.
On to a more positive topic. Johnny wants to know, have you ever tried grilled peanut butter and jelly? And if not, are you interested?
I haven't. I would eat anything to do with peanut butter and jelly, too. So, no, I've never tried grilling it, but that does sound intriguing.
Michael wants to know, Amy, with regards to the NFL playing abroad.
Did he say with regards to the NFL?
Yeah.
Okay.
With regards to the NFL playing or proposing to have contests at foreign venues such as England and Mexico.
Negative.
What is your opinion on the NFL expanding outside of the U.S.?
No, it is our league. Absolutely not. Most of the people around the world don't even know what American football is, for God's sakes. I go to Cuba, 90 miles off of our Florida Keys, and they have no idea about American football. I mean, I get it. They'll go to sporting events because it's exciting and all that jazz, but no. Why are we going to send a team? First of all, it's a complete competitive disadvantage. You're going to send a team to another country where then they have to worry about like the safety, extra safety concerns. It's why they canceled, not to mention field conditions. It's why they canceled that game in Mexico recently, because they were worried about players getting hurt. You can't drink the water in play, not London, obviously, but to have to fly teams across the pond so they can play their home, like their home games, but then they have to travel across the ocean for every single one of their road games. That's ridiculous. I mean, that team is destined to be a failure. So no, absolutely not. Not to mention, it's the most popular spectator sport in the U.S. Why the heck are you going to send it overseas somewhere? Don't be a complete money whore. Stop it, NFL. It's wrong.
That's just wrong. Pete wants to know, he uses the hashtag AskAmyAnything. Amy, if you could go on one of these reality challenge shows, which one do you think
Don't say you'd... the fear factor with the eating weird things.
No, which one do you think you'd dominate? The Amazing Race,
yes.
American Ninja Warrior, or Survivor?
No, well, Survivor I wouldn't, because I'm a wimp when it comes to bug bites. I can't, the bugs and the snakes I can't do. So no, I would never even sign up for that one. Although I do think it's kind of fun that Sandra and Boston Rob are back on the show again. Amazing Race is literally one of my bucket list items. So all I need is a partner who has a great sense of direction, because I can get lost in a paper bag. Otherwise, I'm all about the Amazing Race. American Ninja Warrior, I just watched this year for the first time with my grandmother, because apparently she's a big fan. And it was really cool, but I am under no illusions that I am that awesome. I'm not that awesome. So Amazing Race, I would dominate. Bring it. I just need a partner. Who wants to be my partner? Neither one of you better raise your hands.
Dave?
What? Dave is going to... Whatever. That's, no.
I raised both my hands.
Could you see us?
Well, see, my theory is Dave has a big family, right? So he needs to be able to gather the herd and get them places. So he probably has a good sense of direction.
He records a podcast while he's driving.
And haven't gotten lost once.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because you're... No,
I actually do have a very good sense of direction. Runs in my family.
Great.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Our friend of the show, actually, David Sampson, was on Survivor, and he was the first person kicked off the island.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And
yeah,
And he has some horrible stories to tell.
Yeah, I don't fight dirty like that either, so I wouldn't be a good candidate for Survivor.
Jason wants to know, have you ever made a crazy bet, sports-related or not, with a friend, family member over?
Oh, yeah, stupid bets with ex-boyfriends. Like, if this team wins, I swear to God, I'll never do this again, and it was a really bad idea, but I was much younger. If this team wins, your team wins, I have to grill for you steaks while wearing my bikini. What kind of an idiotic bet is that?
Wait a second. Hold up, backtrack, rewind.
Well, this was, I was younger, and this was a guy that I was dating, but that was like, I don't know, that is the dumbest bet. Like, who does that now? I am an aberration, and like, that is an aberration, because I'm not like that anymore, but like, that's anti-Me Too movement. Like, that shouldn't even be allowed anymore, but yeah.
How did that story end?
Well, I lost.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that's how the story ended. Yeah, that was it had to be 10 years ago.
And that's how Ask Amy Anything ended.
That's right. We're never asking questions of Amy ever again. This is what happens. I tell embarrassing stories about myself. Yes, I bet that I would grill a mistake in a bikini because I'm an idiot. Yay. Listen to my radio show. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.